This is a CBC podcast.
Because again, you shouldn't need someone from Toronto, as we always hear, telling you that you have value. Yeah. But at the same time, there is value in being recognized on a national list.
Hey, I'm Claire Bonnieman, and this is Edmonton, a local podcast from CBC News. Here in Edmonton, we like to eat. Ask anyone about food and restaurants, and they will tell you how far the dining scene has come. But what is Edmonton's dish? Lists online mention pierogies, green onion cakes, of course, Alberta beef, donairs with lettuce, and that doesn't even begin to get into local favorites or neighborhood famous spots. So, for their take on Edmonton Eats and our local food culture, I reached out to a couple of foodies. Phil Wilson, aka Bacon Hound, is a food writer, and Sharon Yeo is a co-organizer and co-founder of Chinatown Dining Week. She also runs the blog onlyhereforthefood.ca and writes about food for Taproot Edmonton. Hello and welcome to you both.
Hey, Claire.
Thanks for having me.
What does it say to you that so many of our quote-unquote Edmonton foods are ostensibly from somewhere else?
I personally think that's awesome. I think that's what makes Edmonton what Edmonton is people coming here from somewhere else, bringing their food and culture and sharing it with everyone else who's also from somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah. Sharon, when you hear those lists, what do you think of?
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, we are, Canada is built by immigrants, settlers coming here. And so I think, you know, we are the richer for it. And so we are so fortunate that folks come and want to share their food. And, you know, again, we're so lucky that our food scene is so diverse. And yeah. You can walk out the door and, you know, depending on where you're at, hit five different types of food right away. So I think, yeah, we're very lucky.
When did you guys first get interested in the food scene and the food culture in Edmonton? Do you remember?
I would say for me, interested and involved is two very different things. I've always been interested in eating because I'm basically a glutton at heart. From a wee baby, I was always like all about the food. And then I would say it's probably about 2008 or so when my wife decided that, you know what, everyone keeps asking you where to eat, what's the best restaurant, that kind of stuff. So why don't you just start a blog? To which I said, why? I hate writing. It's the worst. I'm terrible at it. But I took her advice and I did it and I started writing on a blog and next thing you know, it's over a decade later and I'm still kind of doing my thing. It's kind of surprising, honestly.
Very similarly to Phil, similar but different. So after university, you know, you have a bit more disposable income with a stable job. And so I started eating out a bit more and just really trying to explore what was available in the Edmonton food scene. And maybe different than Phil, I've always liked writing. So I started writing about sort of a little bit of everything. It was when I started my blog in 2006, it wasn't just about food, but eventually it became just about food. And it's called Only Here for the Food Now, because that's all I write about at the moment. But really for me, I think throughout the time that I've been writing about food in Edmonton, it's really evolved to not just about the food, but actually about the people behind the food. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the reporting that I do now on my blog and also for Taproot Edmonton is about really telling the stories of the folks that make the food, that are taking the risks by opening the restaurant, you know, investing everything they have into sharing a certain kind of food with people. And so for me, a lot of the stories about the food are actually stories about people.
Yeah. How have you seen the food community in Edmonton change since 2006?
I mean, a lot of the diversity I think that was there is maybe just more prominent now, maybe in terms of the types of restaurants that are being recognized, the types of restaurants that, you know, go beyond sort of, you know, just sort of European style food, I think in Edmonton have become for sure embraced and maybe elevated to some extent. So I think that has definitely changed. I think obviously there's the biggest change from when Phil and I started writing about food is, of course, social media has exploded. So it's not blogs actually that are prominent where people are finding information anymore. It's primarily social media, right, driven on Instagram and Facebook. And so I think that has changed the culture, maybe for better in terms of awareness, maybe for worse as well in that, some reasons.
That's another podcast episode right there.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that today. But I think, you know, in terms of awareness, you know, certainly I think social media has allowed people to share things far and wide much easier than it would have been before. For sure, I think it's another topic altogether, but in terms of like impact and things like that, I think a lot of that is yet to be seen in terms of long-term viability of that kind of promotion. But mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, people can find out about things much easier than maybe in the past when it was reliant upon print media or traditional sources. And now, you know, everyone can tell you their favorite restaurant far and wide.
Yeah. Everyone's got a list of like their top three or five. Phil, how have you seen the changes over your years of bacon hounding?
I love that it's a verb.
I'm making you a verb.
Awesome. I've always wanted to be a verb. I think I would echo a lot of what Sharon said. As far as restaurants and the food scene in general, I think the biggest thing that I see is when I started talking about restaurants, people had no clue about the restaurants. And getting someone to go to an independent restaurant that they might not have heard of, serving a food they might know nothing about, man, it was like pulling teeth. You really, like, I felt like a used car salesman trying to sell people on going to a restaurant. Just try it. Please, just try it. I will go with you. Let's go together. Let's make this happen. Go try this. You will like it. And it was so difficult. And now I think the general public in Edmonton is a lot more willing to try out something that they maybe don't know anything about. In fact, I would go as far as to say they kind of embrace it. It's almost like a culture of people looking for that place they haven't tried before to go try with a group of friends on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And I love that. That's a great thing. You know, when we started writing about food, Sharon and I would say we both were kind of at the beginning of this talking about local food thing, you know, using local products, that kind of thing. And I know it's a huge buzzword, but restaurants hardly used local ingredients and took any pride in doing that sort of thing. It was rare back then. And now so many restaurants do that. And that's another really great thing, I think. Yeah. We're not just Edmonton, the home of every chain restaurant anymore. We're home of Edmonton chefs who actually create really interesting food and people who want to go eat that food.
I'm glad you mentioned chains, because there is a huge culture of food in the city, but also this huge culture of chains and franchises. A lot of them that started here first, other ones that come here and test it. What do you guys make of that?
That is one of the things that I reflected on when I thought about the 2023 year in food. I mean, you know, I think since the pandemic started, there have been a lot of closures of local chains, or sorry, local restaurants, as Phil was saying, these places that, you know, again, the entrepreneurs that open them risk a lot by, you know, trying to start a new brand and trying to invite people into something that might not be recognizable for people, whether it's a cultural food or even just the name of the restaurant. And so, you know, in spite of, again, it's not to say that local restaurants aren't popping up. They are. But I think in terms of franchises or chain restaurants, it does seem to be a bit of a trend that it seems to be less of a risk for people who want to enter into that food scene, bringing a chain that is available elsewhere and then opening up a branch in Edmonton. And everyone, you know, is very excited because, you know, chains sometimes from far away, it does enable you to get a kind of food that might remind you of home or, you know, might only have been accessible in a certain community outside of Canada or outside of Edmonton. But, you know, I think both Phil and I, we do want to push those local independent restaurants because they are so much more unique and they are so much an expression of that individual or that family that opened it. And, you know, I don't think that anything that Phil or I will say today will dissuade people from going to chains. That's just a part of, you know, trying food. And
if you want Jollibee, you're going to go get Jollibee.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But I think, you know, our mantra, I think, has always been to encourage people to support local and support those folks that are taking a risk.
Mm-hmm. For me, I think it's not even that. I don't want to come on here and say, like, look, all chains bad. Chains bad, independents good.
Yeah.
Because there's terrible independent restaurants out there. There's terrible chains, and there's also chains that do a good job of it, too. And there's a reason why some of these chains are really popular, right? If you have dietary restrictions or allergies, I'll tell you, there's a few chains out there that put so much emphasis and train all their people. They have the resources to train their people properly.
Yeah.
They're good for that kind of thing, right? If you have a big group of very eaters that aren't very adventurous, the chain restaurant might work for you. That's totally fine. But for me, it's just I wish the really great local restaurants that we have would get the sort of build up and the hype on the local news that that the chains get when they open. Nothing drives me more batty than when I turn on the local news in the morning and watch something for a few minutes and it's all talking about this American chain coming in. They haven't even opened yet.
Yep.
People are lining up outside the doors and I go, oh, come on. Like, why are we lining up for this? This makes no sense. Like, yeah. go visit the great place up the road that's actually already here and putting money back in the community.
Yeah, I think about that when I mean, even more local chains like Peter's Drive-In when they opened. And it was during the pandemic, so of course, a lot of us didn't have much to do. So there was the lineup of cars, right, down Gateway. Right. And it's just, it's interesting to see. But yeah, there's not that same kind of maybe fervor mm-hmm. when a new burger place shows up.
It's not even the international chains either, because I think you've hit on something here. It's the chains from Calgary that yeah. open extra locations here, and everyone's super excited. It's like, I think Edmonton maybe has this feeling like we're always this inferiority complex, and that it's from somewhere else, so it must be better than what we have here. But that's not always the case.
How does our food scene stack up? It has changed. It has grown a ton. Are we still denigrating ourselves?
I think there's a little bit of that. There's a yeah. little. Edmontonians are kind of famous for their self-hate,
yeah.
as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, we love to poke fun at ourselves and put ourselves down. But the second someone else puts us down, we're on them like a rabid dog on meat, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like that. But I also don't like the defensiveness about our food scene. I mean, you know, there's room to be honest and reflect on what's real and what's just hype. And I think we've had our struggles in the last few years. I'm on a panel that talks about best restaurants, new restaurants, and that kind of thing. And I would say the last couple of years, it's been a little bit more difficult to have those conversations about the new restaurants, because what you see popping up isn't exactly as inspiring as you're seeing in other places or what we've had historically open up. So it's a little bit difficult. But I think where Edmonton excels is that we have a lot of those non-flashy, very owner-operated, very quiet-run places that don't really toot their own horn that much. And they tend to be the best places, the places I frequent the most, which is sort of a detriment to the food scene here, because we don't have those loud voices that are always telling everyone how awesome they are and everyone believes it. Our people here are so quiet about it. They're just quietly making great stuff, which makes it hard to promote.
Well, Sharon, you talk about telling the stories of the folks behind the food. Does that ring true to you, like seeing these places that are maybe just focused on making the food, less about sharing their stories?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Phil. I think, you know, the local folks are really humble at their core. And so I think, you know, putting themselves out there, they let their food speak for itself. And so sometimes, you know, it is maybe misconstrued as less flashy or, you know, somehow maybe not as worthwhile to try out. And for sure, it's a detriment to those folks that their stories aren't necessarily told as far and wide. I mean, I think, too, the other challenge in sort of how do you track that kind of thing and how do you measure it is, I mean, with, again, the sort of changes in the media landscape, it's really hard now for those restaurants that do open to get their story out there, because there isn't the same focus from traditional media, where lots of people still get their news on food anymore, right? So a lot of it has gone online, mm-hmm. and there is good stories being told online, but maybe, again, not the same channels that people are used to finding their information. So the stories maybe aren't reaching as many people as it once was when, you know, everyone read the paper, everyone, you know, again, was getting their information in this one single source. So I think that just makes it a little bit difficult for those folks to get their word out there. And I mean, I think too, you know, as Phil is talking about these lists that are circulating, you know, certainly on the national level, Edmonton has always had a hard time, you know, breaking through those lists. And I think that inferiority complex definitely is in line with not being recognized on some of these national lists, for better or for worse. Because again, you shouldn't need someone from Toronto, as we always hear, telling you that you have value.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is value in being recognized on yeah. a national list, right? So there's this kind of push and pull, right? Because we often do fall in the shadow of Calgary, because Alberta, you know, we're, again, a humble prairie city. We can yep. only have one, a humble prairie province. We can only have one city speak for an entire province. And so, you know, in that struggle, I think, you know, we do have that, why don't you pay attention to us? You know, why aren't our restaurants mattering to the same degree as Calgary? And, you know, again, there are lots of differences between Edmonton and Calgary, but certainly the recognition on a national scale is a big one. And I think, you know, I'm not 100% sure what has to change, you know, in terms of quantity or quality of restaurants, but I think also just the spotlight, right? It's not cast equally on those two communities in Alberta.
I think it's a little tricky in that Calgary tends to have a lot of people who have appeared many times on the Food Network. They have a high profile. And these high profile people, they tend to bring other high profile people in the food community over. They do collaborations with each other. And now these East Coast chefs that are really high profile are coming to Calgary and hanging out and doing these things and bringing more awareness even to these restaurants. So I think a fundamental difference between Edmonton and Calgary, though, if we're going to stick on that topic for a second.
Let's go.
I think Edmonton is kind of like we have very independent restaurants, whereas Calgary has a lot owned by restaurant like groups, right. Conglomerates. So they're backed by more money. When these restaurants open in Calgary, they're always like flashier. That you can tell they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars more on the aesthetics and making things look beautiful for the nice, you know, the cool young people to come.
Yeah, more Instagrammable.
Whereas Edmonton, you're looking at it and you go, well, yeah, you opened on a shoestring budget, but the food's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to compare when aesthetically the Calgary restaurants are always, for the most part, fancier. Right, that draws some attention that the less aesthetically pleasing places don't.
If each of you had to pick an Edmonton food, what would your pick be?
For me, Linda Huang, who's another Edmonton food writer, and I put together a list in 2022 called Edmonton Faves We Crave. And so we ensured that everyone knew that this list is subjective, just as all lists are.
No, it's definitive. There is no arguing the list.
So our list is subjective, and we caveated that by saying, you know, both of us have a bias towards noodle soups, because that's, you know...
Because they're excellent.
The thing that we go to for our own comfort food, and so noodle soups are featured prominently on the list. And so for me, my pick for the ultimate Edmonton dish would be pho. So it's a Vietnamese soup that is again, sort of, again, prominently found everywhere in Edmonton. But, you know, I think for me, how I would define that or why I would choose that is, you know, I think there's no denying that Edmonton is a winter city.
Yeah.
It's very cold many times of the year. And so there's, you know, for me, nothing more comforting than a hot bowl of soup, even though, again, I will say I am personally okay with eating hot noodle soups all time of year, even in the summer weather. But it's one of those things where you do have to pay full attention to eat, right? It's not the kind of thing that you could eat with one hand on the couch. Not there's any problem with that, but it's one of those things that you need both hands.
You know,
again, you're inhaling the broth, you're inhaling and using two hands to put together different sauces and different toppings like bean sprouts or basil and things like that. So it's, you know, kind of deserves your full attention. And I think it is one of those things where it is, you know, again, if you talk to folks that do like pho, they all have their favorites and it's all a little bit different. You know, my parents love Côte d'Huy. I love pho Tao Bay that's in Chinatown, but everyone kind of has their local place that they go to for their favorite soup. And kind of, again, going back to the beginning, like it is a dish that was brought here by immigrants, right? And I do think that, again, as all dishes are, apart from those that were prepared by our Indigenous brothers and sisters, it's something that has come from afar and then has made an impact locally. And I think it does speak to sort of, you know, again, Canada, Alberta, Edmonton, you know, where we are and all of the folks that have joined our community and made it what it is.
Phil?
Oh, Sharon,
follow,
putting
please.
On a lot of pressure here with that pick, because I also love pho, and I agree with her on my favorite is also her favorite, so that's
oh,
good.
Nice. There you go.
I love it when we agree. That's awesome. Except for the fact that if it's the most Edmonton thing, you should tie this in with a sponsorship of some place that sells local shirts, because I have to change mine every time after I have pho. There's like soup all down me. It's a mess.
We should just create a special pho bib, like an Edmonton. Maybe it like has the river going across.
That's a new merch thing,
yeah,
for CBC.
I'll
maybe
buy
the
one.
CBC pho bib.
There you
awesome.
Go.
Awesome. Let's make that
gem.
Happen. For me, I'm going to go with Ralph's Fried Chicken. And the reason I love Ralph's Fried Chicken is because it really is kind of a story of Edmonton for me, as we talked about earlier. It's an immigrant family that came from Palestine, and they came here and they worked hard. They came here to make a better life for themselves, and they opened up a convenience store and started making fried chicken of the back. And it just became this – at one time when I first went to Ralph's, it was not super well known. But there were a select people, especially the people in that Strathern neighborhood,
yeah.
They knew Ralph's Fried Chicken is where it's at. And they didn't want to tell anybody because it's hard to get once everyone wants it, right? So, but then they have recently moved to the north side, way too far north for me, which is terrible, but but to me, it's like the perfect food. It's the best fried chicken in town, in my opinion. Not even close. I can't think of what's second. And even the potato wedges that they do with it, it's kind of like fried in the chicken batter sort of thing, a little bit of it. So they get crispy. They're even like the only French fries on the planet that are still okay the next day. You can reheat them. They're still edible.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't know how they're doing that. But the fried chicken's just perfectly crispy. And it's just a story. Like they've come here and made this iconic thing that Edmontonians love now. And, again, like Sharon said, it's the people behind it also add to the story, too, the story behind how this came to be. And I think that's just the ultimate Edmonton.
I got to go to their opening day at their new location and meet the man behind the chicken. And, oh, my heart was full that day. And so was my stomach.
We started and we go. That's in 1987. Hopefully my kids. I'm 75 years old. What do you expect? Another 5 years will be nice, 110 years old will be. But humbly, thanks. You gotta put your feeling in it. You do it with your heart. I'm not gonna feed them something that doesn't taste good.
As two folks who have watched the food scene develop and grow and shift over the years, what do you love most about it?
I think it's hard to put your finger on that because there's days I love it, and then there's also days where I get very frustrated with the food scene here and you feel like we're going backwards. But I think if I had to pick one thing, it's just the humbleness of people here. You know, the egos in other cities when you own a really good restaurant that's on all these lists and everything is the egos sort of inflate with the sales almost. And I don't find that as much here. Very, very rare when I go, holy smoke, that really went to his head. I don't say that here. It's very blue-collar mentality to the restaurant scene, much like our workforce is here. You know, we're thought of as a blue-collar town. And the restaurants take that to heart.
I think it's, again, it goes back to the people. And I do think just, you know, finding those folks that really are so passionate about the things that they do. And again, they're desperate for other people to love whatever they do as much as they do. I think about the person who founded KC Ramen. And I remember, again, like I love noodle soup, so I'm already pre-biased to loving ramen as well. But just the like an example of someone who's putting everything that he has learned into every kit, every bowl that he's putting together and wants everyone to appreciate it as much as he does. And, you know, that kind of sort of belief and sort of single driving factor is sort of what makes, I think, his business really successful, right? Because that kind of drive for perfection is really infectious. And I think we are the better for people like that in our community that just really want to share what they love and want people to love it as much as they do.
This is Edmonton is a local podcast from CBC News. Our senior producer is Leslie Goldstone, and our technician this week is Corey Haberstock. I'm Claire Bonnieman. Thank you so much for listening. This is Edmonton is recorded on Treaty 6 territory, the traditional gathering place of the Cree, Soto, Blackfoot, Métis, Dene, and Nakota Sioux. If you want to hear more from Phil, you can find him online at Bacon Hound. And for more of Sharon's writing, you can go to her blog onlyhereforthefood.ca or subscribe to Taproot Edmonton. Email us a question, comment, or a story idea at thisisyeg@cbc.ca. Leave us a rating or a review wherever you download the show, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.